On Father's Day, let's begin with this premise. Men and women are very different. If Lori, Linda, Elizabeth, and Barbara go out for lunch, they will call each other Lori, Linda, Elizabeth, and Barbara. If Mark, Chris, Eric, and Tom go out, they will affectionately refer to each other as Sparky, Godzilla, Big E, and Tommy Boy. A man will pay $2 for a $1 item he needs. A woman will pay $1 for a $2 item she doesn't need if it's on sale. A man has 5 items in his bathroom: a toothbrush, a shaving cream, razor, a bar of soap, and a towel from the Marriott. The average number of items in a woman's side of the bathroom is 337, and most men cannot identify most of those items. And finally, children. A woman knows all about her children. She knows about dental appointments and romances, and she knows about favorite foods and secret fears and hopes and dreams. And a man is vaguely aware there are short people living in his house. Men and women are very, very different. Some psychologists, sociologists, and behavioral experts have tried to explain away these differences. Theories about society programming us into these roles as soon as we leave the womb. We dress little girls in pink and hand them dollies. We give a bulldozer to the little boys and encourage them to play rougher games while the girls often have tea parties. We often do these things. We really do. But men and women are very different creatures long before we can even begin to pattern their behaviors. If you've ever watched little baby boys and little baby girls from birth, they are very different creatures. And they are very different creatures for a very good reason. God had a plan. It's always been part of the plan. Physically, psychologically, spiritually, we are very different because God had a plan. All through the Bible, we're told this. In Mark chapter 10, it says, "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one." Life is supposed to be a team sport. It takes two. Vive la divorce. How many people these days tell you to celebrate diversity out of one side of their mouth and then deny any thought that men and women are even different? God had a plan. Men and women working together, created to support and balance one another, collaborating, cooperating, loving one another, making each of the two individual parts a strong one. That was always the plan. Genesis 2:24. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother to be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The New Testament and the Old Testament say the same thing. Teamwork that makes the load lighter, that wins Stanley Cups, raises strong families, has always been God's plan. I had the blessed privilege of having a mother and a father that celebrated 67 anniversaries together. It's very hard for me to even try and separate the lessons I've learned or the blessings I've known into whether my mom or my dad taught me this or that, because they were always a team, a consistently hardworking, caring, generous, godly, forgiving team. Today is Father's Day. So to honor fathers, I'll often use my late father and mother as examples. I'd like to speak this morning about the things a good father teaches us. Our reference scripture today is in John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Jesus speaks of his father, our heavenly father, and I'll use the NIV version of the Bible for this. "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does." First of all, a good father teaches us to stand up for good and to support and protect others. When I was a kid, I was never afraid when my dad was around. He wasn't a big guy, but I knew that he would stop a bus to save me. That may have been because he was actually a bus driver. But I felt safe and secure because he was the one who would protect our family, and I never doubted that for a minute. I know that most of us back then believed our dad could lick anybody's dad. You know what? That thought doesn't come from our belief in physical prowess. That comes from our faith in the strength and character and the resolve of a good father. A good, caring, and protective environment fosters that belief. But he also taught me to turn the other cheek and to walk away whenever I could, to make peace whenever that was an option. As a matter of fact, I'll never forget him telling me this little gem. You never wrestle with a pig because you both get dirty and only the pig likes it. In other words, it's not worth it. Get over it. Move on. Forgive. Forget. Keep calm and carry on. Author Ed Chin says, to forgive is to release. Let it go. Freely and wholeheartedly grant freedom and blessing. It has very little to do with feelings or even trust. He says, forgiveness is simply a decision to let go of our regrets and our own view of justice. My dad knew that forgiving was good for the forgiven and the forgiver. In Matthew 6:14, you can read that. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. A good father teaches that to his children. A good father also teaches us to laugh, encourages us to love life. Proverbs tells us that a joyful heart is good medicine. That came out long before Reader's Digest came up with the phrase, laughter is the best medicine. Ecclesiastes even helps us to realize that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. Psalms chapter 2 says, he who sits in heaven laughs. And even Job, with everything he went through, quote, he will fill your mouth with laughter, unquote. For me, the absolute best sound in the world is when my family's sitting around the table or around the fire on the patio laughing together. The sound of my kids and my grandkids laughing is music to my ears. I only hope that they learned that laughing is good for the soul from their parents, because I certainly learned it from mine. My father was a practical joker. He actually replaced the whipped cream on his buddy's piece of apple pie with shaving cream. He truly loved to laugh and make others laugh, sometimes uncomfortably so. If you came to our home, you were laughing and or singing within 5 minutes of coming through the door. If you rode on a bus that my father drove, you knew who Happy Hal was, and you were likely to request him to be behind the wheel with you whenever you went. And he used laughter to make himself feel better. On one occasion in his last days, Mom and I visited the hospital with him for a very important and serious meeting regarding an aneurysm that threatened his very life. When the doctor came to talk to him, Mom and I had to ask him to please take off the cardboard bedpan he was wearing as a hat. King David says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. A good father teaches his children to laugh. A good father teaches that work is a virtue. Did you realize that God actually wants you to work because it's good for you? Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the orchard in Eden to care for it and to maintain it. That's work. Think about it. God had a plan, and it included work and working for what we have. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, an interesting, often misquoted line. If anyone is not willing to work, neither should he eat. That's quite a statement. And it's a statement that, as I said, sometimes is twisted a little bit for us. Notice this says, not willing to work, as opposed to not work. One of the problems with this generation is that too few care to understand the difference between will not and cannot. And the system that we built doesn't do a very good job recognizing the difference. But a good father teaches his children that there is honor and reward in hard work. There is satisfaction in accomplishment. Anything worth doing is worth doing well. Have you heard that 1,000 times in your life? A good father teaches his children that abusing this rule leads to heartache and hunger for those around us. Taking advantage of others in any way breaks the golden rule. How can you possibly do unto others as you would have them do unto you if you operate by a double standard and refuse to share the workload? My dad worked very hard. He honored his calling. He often said, if you love your work, it's not so much like work at all. And he showed me that loving your job makes your life more fulfilling, rewarding, enjoyable. Work was a part of our life. In a recent Up devotional, Pastor Rattan shared this quote from author James Baldwin. Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they never fail to imitate them. When I was a kid, we were never wealthy in material things, but we were rich in quality of life. We were always comfortable and secure in the love of family. Sometimes it seemed like we worked very hard and saw little benefit, but sometimes, you know what? The poorest man leaves his children the richest inheritance. In Philippians 4:12, the Apostle Paul writes what his heavenly Father had taught him. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Knowing that a well-rounded and happy life looked like, by seeing my father's life, helped me to realize that I could have that too. The relationships that I've gained, the knowledge that I've obtained, the fulfillment that I received through jobs well done, the material gain that has fed and clothed my family, would not be available to me if I didn't work and appreciate the opportunity to do so. I learned from my father that if I wanted to enjoy the fruits of my labors, I would have to work. The Bible says, accept work as God's divine design for you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for teaching us that lesson. A good father teaches about the importance of friendship. How many times have you heard that song, thank you for being a friend, right? I can see her now. Betty, right? The Golden Girls. How many times was that played as the theme to that television show? How many times have you relied on a friend for help, maybe advice, help with a physical task, moral support, a travel companion, or just a shoulder to cry on? Or how often have you relied on the same from a friend of yours? See, it's that teamwork thing again. Did Jesus travel alone? Nope. He selected others to travel with him. We call them his disciples, but even more importantly, he called them his friends. He said, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends, he said. In the book of Proverbs, we see this line, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God had a plan, and it included friends. My home was always full of friends when I was a kid, and if they weren't friends when they came in, they usually were when they went back out. Friends from all over came to barbecues and sing-alongs and bonfires, and if our friends weren't at our house, our family would be at theirs. I must admit my mother must have wondered from time to time. I know she had the patience of a saint. Here's proof. One of my most unforgettable family moments was when my father was driving a group of international business representatives around Ontario to tour businesses and visit factories. Roughly 40 people from Ghana, France, Middle East, Colombia, South Africa, Canadian Arctic, Korea, all over the world. One day after visiting the Alliston area, he asked them, what are you doing for supper tonight? A short time later, the phone at 88 Codrington Street rang and my mom answered it. Blanche, can you call our friends from the church and tell them that we're going to need some barbecues and food at the house? I'm bringing 40 people home for dinner. And he did. A busload of new friends who ate and sang and laughed with their new Canadian friends. I remember sitting in the basement with my best friend and we were watching the floor above us bounce as one of the African visitors played on our piano and the room full of others stomped their feet and clapped their hands to the music, and we wondered if we should maybe go outside just in case. Dad actually invited that man to come and sing and play at our church, and he did the following Sunday. My father taught me that friends are all around us. We just haven't met them all yet. In Ecclesiastes, we read, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up, because God had a plan and it included friends. A good father teaches us to love our mates unconditionally. Author Theodore Herzberg said this, the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. We often take pot shots at marriage, and you've heard them all, I'm sure. Love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. The children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years. Even then, men wouldn't ask for directions. Where there's this joke about a couple, they're driving down a country road, they've just had an argument. They're not speaking much. Neither wants to concede their position. They pass a barnyard full of mules and jackasses. And the husband says sarcastically, relatives of yours? Yep, his wife replies, my in-laws. We love to laugh about husbands and wives and marriage and in-laws, but you know what? Some people actually get it. The odd bump on the road doesn't mean you're not on the highway to happiness. Dave Muir is a comedian and an author, and he has a lot to say about marriage, including this. A great marriage is not when a perfect couple comes together. No. It's when an imperfect couple learns to enjoy their differences. A good father shows us that despite the odd disagreement, spat, or problem, he is absolutely devoted to his wife. He is her helpmate, her best friend, her lifelong love. He loves his children and provides well for them to grow strong physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He demonstrates what Paul commands in Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And may I add, for their children and for generations to come. Clarence Kellen said it best, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. A good father teaches us to love our children. Just as he loves their mother unconditionally, a good father will do anything for his children. I have a little piece here. I don't know where it came from. Whoever wrote it, thank you. A dad is someone who wants to catch you before you fall, but instead picks you up, brushes you off, and lets you try again. A dad is someone who wants to keep you from making mistakes, but instead lets you find your own way, even though his heart breaks in silence when you get hurt. A dad is someone who holds you when you cry, scolds you when you break the rules, shines with pride when you succeed, and has faith in you even when you fail. One night, a father overheard his son praying. The little boy said, dear God, make me the kind of man my daddy is. Later that night, that father prayed, dear God, make me the kind of man my son wants me to be. Any man can be a father. It takes a special man to be a dad. And a good father teaches his children to have faith in God. I cannot even imagine my childhood without church. We didn't always like it, but my sisters and I were in church every Sunday, usually morning and evening services. We were in Sunday school, we were in choir, we were in young people's activities. Church was huge in our life. We watched our folks in the choir teach and supervise Sunday school, hang out with the couples club, help out with Awana. We were brought up to understand very clearly that there is a God and he loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to show us how to live, to teach us that he is the way to heaven. He is the truth. He is life eternal, and it's only available through faith in him. Proverbs 22 and 6 has a gem. Train your child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not turn from it. That's quite a promise from a guy with a great toolbox. We sang together, we prayed together, we had fellowship together with our father and mother. We were consistently told and shown that we not only had good parents, but that we had an amazing and loving Heavenly Father. Let's look at our title verse one more time, a little more closely. Jesus explains that he's entirely dependent on God, his Father. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. Without God, Jesus can do nothing. Then he says this, he can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Do you hear that in this message? Again and again, what we show, what we demonstrate is so important. Here Jesus states his Father loves him so much that he has revealed to his Son all of his plans and purposes and trusted his Son to obediently carry them out. Jesus, through teachings and parables and miracles, shared the plan with us and clearly showed, demonstrated, how we should live honoring and trusting God and sharing his love and his hope with others. The perfect relationship between a heavenly Father and his Son. It's imperative we also share a verse that appears just a few lines later in that same chapter, verse 24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Fathers and mothers, today and every day, we need to recommit ourselves to teaching these truths and demonstrating the love of God to our children. The Apostle John explained it just like this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that he did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, the children of a heavenly Father who we can believe in and trust. A heavenly Father that teaches us to fear not and has given us laughter and told us to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. A heavenly Father who promises that our work in him will not be in vain. A heavenly Father who calls us friends and who loves us unconditionally and forgives us the things we do to hurt him. A heavenly Father who invites us to become his children, to embrace a faith of love, forgiveness, hope. A good Father who has provided his word so that we can know we are loved and can find our way back to the family of God. Happy Father's Day.